So today, I'm going to continue on our first fruits journey. I was going to go somewhere else, and I felt like the Lord said, no, I want you to go back. And where we're going to land on today is I'm going to talk about first fruits as offerings, but all the way through this, from beginning to end, I want you to consider your life as a first fruits offering to the Lord. Because if you just follow the precepts of first fruits offerings, apart from you as the first fruits gift to the Lord, you're only doing the legal side, not the heart side. So I wanted to put that out there right up front, because it really is all about living as a first fruits offering. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, glorify God with all your wealth. Now, let me step into this word wealth a minute. We always think of wealth as dollars and cents. But wealth is relationship. First and foremost, to me, the greatest wealth of all is our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with each other. If there is a wealth that's apart from relationship, what's the point? What is the point of having masses and masses and masses and masses of money if you have no relationship? If you have no relationship with the Lord, it's become this hollow substitute that isn't wealth at all. And it becomes deadly rather than life-giving. When financial wealth is connected to authentic relational wealth, then it becomes a blessing. Because you have it, it doesn't have you. That's a real key for us when we begin looking at this. But it goes on, it says, honoring him with your first fruits. And I'm going to get into that word in a minute. With every increase that comes to you. How many of you have had increase in the last year in some way in your life? Increase of revelation, increase of reputation, increase of relationship, increase of finances, increase of opportunities, increase of health. Anybody? Come on. Give out of the increase of energy. That's one of the things I'm constantly going, I'm giving you the first fruits because I need more energy. To keep up around here, I need a lot. But of every increase that comes to you, give of the first. Give it to the Lord. Glorify God with it. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings. Does that sound good to anybody? From an uncontainable source of inner joy. Amen. That right there, an uncontainable source of inner joy. We went to a memorial service yesterday for, she was 93 years old, the mother of one of the guys that was a groomsman in our wedding. So that tells you how long this goes back. But the thing that I remember about her the most is that she seemed to have an uncontainable, unlimited source of joy. You would look at even pictures as I saw her in later life, her face emanated with joy. I want us to be a people of uncontained inner joy. That there's so much joy flowing out of us that it can't be locked up. That there's enough joy in us, because you know, joy isn't the same as happiness. Joy is an internal reality because you know who your God is and you know whose you are. And when that joy is there, all kinds of circumstances can go on. Happiness may be challenged, but there's a steadfast joy that is unspeakable, that's constant. But we want to give out of the best of who we are. So let's define first fruits. What is first fruits? Biblically, it is the first of the harvest. It's the first portion of anything one has or that one receives as increase, it's not just the first, it's the best. So if you, let's think agriculturally for a minute. If you go out into your field, and let's say you've raised a cornfield, right? And you go out and you start harvesting the corn, and about the, you know, about five of the ears that you harvest in that early harvest, that first harvest, are dry, skinny, not filled out. That's not what you give to the Lord. You then have another five, and they're plump, and you're looking at them, and you're going, oh, my goodness, that would be so good. Oh, could I go roast that on the grill or put it in, you know, however you like your corn. But when you look at it and it's the best of the best, that's what you give to the Lord. You don't give him that you go, well, you know, it's okay, but it's not the best. No, you give God the very best. And so you have to understand first fruits, because they were in an agricultural environment. And when they gave to the Lord, they gave out of what they harvested. Now, our harvest today looks a bit different, doesn't it? Because most of us don't have a garden. Now, a few folks do. Spencer and Sue have a garden, and Joan raises herbs, and I know that because they'll bring in their first fruits. Out of the increase, out of the first harvest that they get out of their produce. But that's not what most of ours looks like. But let's take a look at Rosh Chodesh. It's the head of the month, or the very first of the month, according to Psalm 104:19, that talks about the new moons. But then you also have Rosh Hashanah. These are the different first that you see in Scripture related to feast. The Rosh Chodesh at the beginning of the month, the Rosh Hashanah, which is at the head of the year, which is in September or October, when they enter into the Feast of Tabernacles, the first of the year. When you enter into the first of the year, God begins setting things in motion for the entire year to come. Then by the time we get to Passover, we begin seeing a manifestation of what God has said in the fall feast. By the spring feast and the beginning of the year, I know it gets confusing, but we have the head of the year, then we have the beginning of the year with the spring feast, which coincides with the Passover and with Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection, the fulfillment of the Passover. Well, at that point, the day of first fruits, how many of you have heard the Feast of Unleavened Bread? It's a part of the whole Passover season, right? Well, the day after Unleavened Bread is Rosh HaBikurim. That's not a word we often hear. But I kept looking at Scripture and going, God, I know it says at Passover there's a first fruits. There's unleavened bread and first fruits. We don't talk about it a whole lot. But it is the day after the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and it points to Jesus as our first fruits. Isn't that awesome? So it is that which has no sin in it, is that which is unleavened, is that which is pure, is unleavened bread. And then they would have been harvesting in the natural the barley. And so they offered the first of the barley harvest. And this is what happened in those first fruit celebrations. But let's look at that word, Bikurim, or however you say that. I'm not real good on this stuff. It is the Hebrew word for first fruit, and it's translated as promise to come. I want that to settle into you. You give your first fruit, and it's emblematic of the promise that is to come. If that first represents the promise that's to come, why would we hold it? Why would we hold it if it's the promise to come? Because who can fulfill the promise, as we sang this morning? All his promises are? But if we hold the promise right here, and we don't give it, we're withholding the unlocking of the promise to come. Deuteronomy 26:2 says, "You shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground which you bring in from your land that the Lord your God gives you." Key phrase, that the Lord your God gives you, whether it's the produce of the land or the paycheck from your job or the increase of your investments or the what, however you're getting increase, that is the first fruit. Who gave it to you? God did. If we don't get this piece right, we get everything else wrong. God gives you the ability, He gives you the wherewithal to produce wealth by your ingenuity, by your work, by your whatever it is you do. But ultimately, it's God. I think a lot of people miss this one. And I'm not talking necessarily about us, but in our culture, there is very little recognition that anything that we have is because God gave it to us. That's the biggest problem in our nation right now. You know, the reason why we're going into such lack is because we forgot who gave it to us to begin with. The blessings upon our land are because God blessed us. God put us in a land that is fruitful. God put us in a land that is filled, if you will, with milk and honey. God put us in a land, and the reason it kept multiplying is because the majority of the people in the land honored God with the first and said, God gave it to us. So there was an honoring with the first fruits that unlocked an increase. And we have been blessed in amazing ways. And even when we have done things that were absolutely horrifically wrong, there's always been a remnant of people who would go before the Lord as God's people and say, God, forgive us. Heal our land. Cleanse us. Forgive us, for we've not known what we were doing. But God, hear the cry of our heart that we have defiled the land. Would you cleanse the land? And because He doesn't look for the everybody to do that, He looks for His people, even a remnant within His people. Right? If we have to wait on everybody, we're in trouble. Aren't you glad we don't have to wait on everybody? But if we will cry out, God, heal, deliver, cleanse our land, and here we're bringing the first of our increase. You shall put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish His name. Where do you give your first fruits? You give it unto His house, into His kingdom. You give it to the Lord. See, the Israelites saw first fruits as an investment into their future. How many of you want your future secured? I do. I want it secured not just for what I can dream, but for what He's dreaming. I want my future secured so that His purposes on my life and our life is secured so that we can move into it. See, God told them that if they brought their first fruits to Him, He would bless all, say all, that came afterwards. See, if we withhold what He gives, the first of what He gives, what is supposed to come afterwards gets locked up and inaccessible. There's some things I want access to, that if I hold the first of the increase, I'm going to see it but not get to it. I want it. I want it to see the kingdom of God advanced. So let's take a look at some first fruit promises. Now, this is not all of them. And I want to say this before I go into this. We are in a process of growing in our understanding and in our obedience to first fruits. And there are mysteries that we don't yet know, right? Is it a good thing to understand we don't know what we don't know? Mike and I were driving around yesterday, and he asked me, what's that store? I said, I don't know. Went down a little bit further down the road, and he said, what's that? And I said, I don't know. He goes, you don't know much. I said, I don't. Sometimes it's just really good to know you don't know much. There's some principles here that I'm going to teach you that I know that we're not walking in the fullness of yet. And so I'm looking at it and saying, God, I know your word's true. I know I'm not walking in it, but what I'm walking in doesn't negate what your word says. Do you know that whole denominations have developed theologies around no healing because they don't see healing? But he's Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals. He is the God our help. So just because I don't see it doesn't mean it's not true. So as you hear these promises of the first fruits, if you go, well, I haven't seen that, press in and say, God, I'm not seeing this yet. I liked that question. What is it that Susan brought? What is it I need to do to bring that next piece of breakthrough? And breakthrough isn't always an action. It can be a revelation. Because revelation will lead you through to the manifestation. But without revelation, you'll never get to the manifestation. We're often trying to get to the manifestation without having a revelation of what God is doing. And we've got to get there. So promise and blessing of the first fruits. Your barns and vats will be full. Proverbs 3, this is 9 and 10, I just wrote 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first fruits of your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So what does it mean for your barns to be full? What do you need in your barn? You need provision. You need grain. Well, what can grain represent in Scripture? The word broken down and revelation. I want my barn full. Yes. I want it full of revelation out of the word of God. So the chaff is broken off and I get to the pure kernel of the wheat. Because when you get to the pure kernel of the wheat, it's been cleansed of all that dead stuff on the outside. Now, truth be known, folks, most of us have been eating chaff, the dry part of the wheat, the legalism part of the wheat, the part of the wheat that just is rough and it makes you feel like you're in consternation. Like, how am I supposed to do that? But when you get to the pure kernel of the wheat, there's life. There's life on the inside of that kernel of wheat. And when you partake of that pure kernel, that revelation unlocks on the inside of you and it's no longer somebody else telling you, it's become yours. When God broke down the whole corporate armor revelation, I had read Ephesians more times than I could tell you. I had studied the armor of God more times than I could ever imagine. But when that revelation came and he broke it out of what I had known and into that kernel of wheat, that this book is all about the corporate body, therefore the armor needs to be corporate. And oh, by the way, it fits to the fivefold. That revelation became life to me. Because it had broken down from what I had known into what he was saying. How many of you want some good, your barns to be filled with fresh revelation? And your vats will overflow with new wine. I love what Randy said from the Lord in that word. New wine in new wineskins full of joy. full of joy. See, when the joy of the Holy Spirit comes, when the new wine of the Holy Spirit comes, you move into a new dimension of joy. You move into the flowing with the Spirit of God that brings life, brings a breakthrough. And when the new wine gets connected to the new grain, that kernel, all of a sudden, the Word of God gets ignited with the fire of God. Because I don't know about you, but I was trained in the Word of God all my growing up years. I mean, you've heard me tell this. I was in church when I was 7 days old, and I think I was there 3 times a week all my life, at least. I knew the Word of God. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden the Word that was on the inside went to a whole nother dimension of revelation and power. It was not just something I could quote or something that I could use, oh, by the way, as a weapon. Anybody had the Word used as a weapon against you? See, the Holy Spirit won't use the Word as a weapon against you. He'll use the Word as a weapon against the enemy, but not against a person. But the Word of God, ignited by the Spirit of God, becomes life, and it becomes power, and it becomes an igniting of grace and glory to be spread all around. So I want my barns to be filled and my vats to flow with new wine. That's one of the blessings. And then Ezekiel 44:30 says that the first of all the first fruits of every kind and every contribution of every kind from all your contributions shall be for the priest. You shall also give to the priest the first of your dough, listen to this, to cause a blessing to rest on your house. Do you know why City Gate gives first fruits regularly? So we want a blessing to rest on the house. And a blessing rests because we honor God with the first fruits. We give regularly in first fruits. And then when the Lord says, okay, you've had an increase and you're believing for an increase, give a first fruits now and watch the unlocking come of a blessing. And I love this next one. Exodus 23:22. But if you truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. How many of you need God to be an enemy to your enemies? Come on. Bernadette, you need God to be an enemy. You need him to be an adversary to the woke agenda people that are trying to project the transgender agenda upon our kids. You don't have the strength to win this battle, but God does. That's how that works. Because what will happen as she gives first fruits of her life and of her increase, God moves in, begins to fight on her behalf, causes things to turn around, causes people to do what they would not normally do in order to reveal the evil agenda that's undercurrent. Are you noticing that a lot of things are getting uncovered right now? It's because there are people that have offered themselves as a first fruits that are giving themselves to fight the battle in intercession, in worship, and in giving in order to turn the battle at the gate. See, it's us, our partnership, because God says, if you give me your very best, the very first and the best, I'm going to step in and I'm going to fight that power, because we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting principalities, powers, rulers in high places, demonic hordes of evil. But we want him to step in because that's the way to victory, but it's a promise of first fruits. The next one is Exodus 23:25. But you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. Now, I love that one. Your daily provision will be blessed, and God will remove sickness. Unlock it. I I keep using this phrase because I can't get off of it. It's like God's giving us first fruits as a key that's been in our pocket, but we've not always used. And I love this one too, Exodus 23:27. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come, and I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. Come on, somebody ought to shout hallelujah on that one. What if, and this is just me posing a question, what if we gave a designated first fruits offering for the redemption of our nation? I just heard that. We need it. We need God to be a terror. We need confusion thrown into the enemy's camp so they can't connect all their dots and lay their snares and make all of our enemies turn their back on us. Turn around and flee seven ways. Or what about this one? Y'all are going to love this. Exodus 23:28. I will send hornets ahead of you so that they will drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites before you. I don't know about you, but I want the hornets to go get some of these folks. The powers behind them need to be gotten. And I'm going to say this. Some of them have so given themselves over that they're going to be taken captive with the Spirit. And so, don't let unsanctified mercy extend mercy where God isn't extending mercy. Because some of them have just gone too far. Just going to say that. Willfully. And they're gaining power by the demonic powers that they're serving. And they're like a shell of a real person. They're simply occupied by other spirits. Exodus 23:30. I will drive them out before you little by little. This is so that we continue to grow in strength until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. So decree, my enemies will be gone little by little, and my territory shall increase as I give my first fruits of myself and my increase. How many of you want to increase territory? Territory is influence. Territory is authority. Territory is that sphere that you have been given by the Lord to govern over, to rule over, to occupy. It is also that authority that you must have in order to occupy what He gives you. You know, the problem with a lot of us is God has said, stretch out your tent pegs. We've stretched out our tent pegs, but we have not pressed into the Lord to have enough authority and grace to occupy what He's given us. Therefore, we say, well, we stretched out our tent pegs, but you haven't done what God says to be able to occupy. Just because He says stretch out your tent pegs doesn't mean you're going to get to tiptoe through the tulips and have it just manifest. Years ago, we went into a situation where the landlord, this was 12, and he said, if you ever need the space downstairs, you can go in and clean it up and you can just go in and use it. So we went in. He said, I'd called him up and I said, fine. He gave me the keys. We went in. We did what we were doing. And we were paying for 1,500 square feet, I think, maybe 18. And this was 7,500. And we walked in. We did the conference that we needed to do. And we were getting ready to pack everything up and take it upstairs. And I heard Holy Spirit say, occupy. And I'm like, what does that mean? how do you occupy a space you don't have a lease for? He said, call the landlord up and ask him what it'll take. So I called him up and I said, I'd like for us to take a look at what it would cost for us to move downstairs and stay in this bigger space, because it was a great space. And he said, I'll get back to you. He goes, until then, just stay. I said, okay. So this was January, February. We stayed until September, and I kept every month asking, have you got a number for me yet? No. So we get to September, and he says, increase your rent by $500 a month and you can stay. 1,800 square feet to 7,500. Principle of first fruits. And then the obedience to occupy. Because I'll tell you, at that stage of the game, it was a little scary to think what he might tell me. Because we were just getting started. But the faithfulness of our God, he said, I'm going to increase your territory. And he became an enemy to our enemies in the middle of all of that. That's a whole other story for another day. Exodus 23:31, I will fix your boundary from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines and from the wilderness of the Euphrates, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you will drive them out before you. We have boundaries set by the Lord that he sets for the sphere of our authority. And he says, I want you to occupy this territory. I want you to fill it up with my glory. And as you give first fruits, as you give of the very best of yourself, and understand, folks, giving the best of yourself is in worship and it's in obedience. It's saying, God, whatever you say to me, I'm going to do. And I will wait and I'm going to listen to know what you're saying to do and how. Because sometimes we know what to do, we just don't know how to do it. Is anybody else ever getting that fix? I know he's saying to do a certain thing, and I'm looking at it and going, I don't have a clue how to get there. But I'm saying yes to the what and trusting you to show me the how. And he may not show it to me. He may show it to people around me that bring it in, and then I can lean into their know-how to bring the obedience to the what. Does that make sense? God is wanting us to do that, and if we will, then he will be able to drive out the enemies that are before us to cause an increase in the land. So first of the first fruits, and this is where I really want to land today. The first of the first fruits is us. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. See, a lot of times we want to give God a portion, maybe, at our choosing. Right? We want to give him the part we want to give him. The part that's convenient. The part that doesn't disrupt the rest of our life. The part that doesn't cause us to stretch out beyond our comfort zones. I can just tell you, most of the time God asks for the first, it's going to stretch you way out of what you know. It's going to make you really uncomfortable so that you can discover the comfort of the Lord. Because as long as you're in your own comfort, you're in control. But when he says, come over here, trust me, give me the best that you have, give me everything that you have, because the first always represents the whole. So when you give him the first, then you're saying everything else is yours. See, I want God to have not just the first, but the everything. But if you'll give him the first, he'll take what's left and multiply it. He'll multiply your strength. He'll multiply your energy. He'll multiply your abilities. He'll multiply your understanding. He will multiply your mental capacity. I'm letting that one settle in. Because sometimes we think we have a limited mental capacity of doing certain things. Not long after I was received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and began operating and giving God the first of me, I was off somewhere with my mom one day, and she goes, "What happened to you?" I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "You weren't this smart." Thanks, Mom. But see, it was the increase of a life yielded. So I don't know what it is you need in order to fulfill the purpose and destiny God's called you to. But there's something that he's saying, offer yourself to me in a new way. Because the way we offered ourselves yesterday is not the same as we offer today, because we've got a new increase today. We've got a new future in front of us today. But I'll tell you, it's true. When you give God your first, give him the best, he multiplies it back. Psalm 37, 3 and 4 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Give him your first. Give him your best. Work to get your desires fixed on him. We have a lot of things that clamor for our attention. Anybody else have things that clamor for your attention? Take it all and say, "God, I want your best. What is it you're asking?" And don't be in a hurry. We tend to be kind of, you know, we've grown up with the have it your way, give it to me fast, go through the drive-thru and you want it this quick. God's not a drive-thru God. He's not. And he will, in order to produce an authenticity in us of our pursuit and our putting our delight and our desires in him, he'll slow it down. If he thinks we're just wanting the fast fix to move on, I don't know about you, but I have watched God slow the process down and go, "You trust me? Are you still delighting in me, or are you getting frustrated?" Breathe deep. "Okay, God, you know the perfect timing. You know the way that we need to go. You know when this needs to happen." Because sometimes we can think it should have been yesterday. When we were in the process of getting into this location, I was so frustrated. I mean, just truth be known. I mean, we've been looking for 2.5 years. Nothing was opening up. I'd done everything God said to do that I knew to do. And we're still wandering around. We'd put a contract on one space and it'd be gone, and they'd sell the building or something crazy. I mean, it was weird stuff. But in hindsight, God orchestrated the timing, so we ended up over there to position us to be here. I could not have seen that, but I had to learn how to trust in the Lord and just keep doing good. Dwell in the land where he had us, bless where we were, cultivate that faithfulness in my own heart, but cultivate faithfulness in us. So what is it that's out in front of us today that seems like it's there but not there yet? Personally, what's there? What is it that you're looking at? Don't get frustrated and impatient in the process of the Lord. Wait patiently on Him. Trust in Him. Allow it to work a good work of righteousness in you. Because He will give you the desires of your heart as you delight yourself in Him. Not just what you desire, but what He's put on the inside of you. And then Matthew 6:33. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, it really is about seeking His kingdom. Not just about what we want, but what He wants. So first fruits is a pathway of securing God's desired increase for your life. Sometimes as in our religious upbringing, we've been afraid to believe God wanted to bring increase to our life. Years ago, I wrote a prayer guide on the Jabez prayer. And one of the things the Lord had me spend an entire week on, it says, increase my boundaries. And the Lord said, I want you to teach my people it's good to want increase. That's His process. He wants to increase. But most of us have lived in a lack mentality rather than an increase mentality. But when we delight ourselves in the Lord, He says, I want to increase. See, He wants to increase your life. So out of faith, to dedicate all that is yet to come as holy unto the Lord, trust Him with the increase. Give Him the first. Give Him the best. Do it in your own heart, but do it in your giving. Do it in the way you serve other people. Because we want that increase. We don't want to be stuck. Because the kingdom of God is going increase, 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 increase. We're to move from glory to glory to glory to glory. So we want to line up. And then a first fruit offering is a weapon of warfare against the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When the enemy is pelting you on the left and the right, ask the Lord, what is your first fruits offering that can be used as a weapon to defeat the enemy? I'll tell you, it works. Back to the trying to find a location when we were dead stuck, nothing was working. I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, give a first fruits offering. Within a week, the door opened. And the enemy was defeated, and we moved into, as John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I want us all to live in the abundant life. First fruits is a key to that. And first fruits offering, and I've said this numbers of times today, it's a key for unlocking provision needed for the future. Giving first fruits unlocks what is needed for the coming season. What do you need for your coming season? What is it you need? What is it that you need that God's put in your heart? Some of you, God's put in your heart to travel, mission trip somewhere else. He's put in your heart different ideas for outreach and reaching out into the communities. Given ideas, things He's put in your heart, I will tell you that giving a first fruits is one of the ways. It's one of the keys God puts in your pocket. And He'll say, pull out that key and unlock your future. It's time for us to unlock the future. Personally, and corporately. Would you stand with me? And I'm going to say this. Between now and Pentecost, which is another First Fruits festival, I want to challenge you to ask the Lord for a First Fruits offering to bring at Pentecost. something, and understand this about first fruits. I know there's a lot Hebraically, you can go and you get all kinds of percentages and stuff. I don't want you to hear that right now. I want you to hear the call to a first fruits offering of obedience. Of what is the best, the first and the best of what he's shown you for your future. See, tithes are what you have. First fruits is for your future. So just begin to ask. I believe he'll tell you that you'll know what it is so you can unlock what you need to fulfill the future. So, Father, I thank you that you are a God of first fruits, that you gave your very first and your very best. And I'm asking, Father, that in our own hearts, in our lives, that first and foremost, we will give you the very best of who we are. We would give you the first of everything as a dedication of the whole. And Lord, that as we move toward first fruits giving, that you would speak to us to know what it is that we're releasing to you as a dedication of the whole, as an insurance and a provision, a locking in the provision. Father, even in this process, I'm asking that you would unlock the desires and the dreams of your heart into each one of us. Lord, that wherever there's been a blockage that's kept us from dreaming your preferred future for us, Lord, I'm asking that there would be an unlocking even now. Where it's been fuzzy and where it's been cloudy and not able to see, Lord, that you would begin to bring revelation to be able to see what is yet to come. And what it is, God, that you're asking us to give to you for the unlocking of the future that you have planned for us, that we may occupy this territory with your kingdom and cause the rivers of living water to flow through this region in such a way that the harvest of souls, the harvest of increase that you have for your glory and your honor, that Jesus would receive the full reward for his sufferings, would be manifested in this region. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. We will see you down the hall and then tonight at 5 for some time of worship. God bless you, and thank you all again. Thank you so much.